now.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth and Happy New Year. My name is Wayne Zell, and I'm your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And the show is brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pettleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P and the services we provide, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or give us a call for an appointment at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get video, audio, and articles of interest on taxes, estate planning, and business planning. And as you would expect, we were talking about the fiscal cliff before the end of the year. Might as well talk about it again and what the Congress did or didn't do to remedy the problems that we were all facing as a country. You know, for the past several months, we've been talking extensively about the term fiscal cliff. It's a hot term. You know, it's a term, I guess, that was defined to describe the potential doom that was created by a number of fiscal issues that were coming to a head at the same time. And despite staying in session later than they ever have stayed, the U.S. Congress really has not resolved all of the issues on the fiscal cliff. What they did do on New Year's Eve and into New Year's was continue working on legislation that was passed in the very late hours of New Year's Day, 2 a.m. to be exact. The Senate passed by a vote of 89-8 in favor of a tax package known as the American Tax Relief Act of 2012, even though it was enacted in 2013. And the House, shortly after that, 20 hours later, passed the same bill with very few modifications by a vote of about 257-189. Obviously, the Democrats heavily supported it, but several Republicans came over both on the Senate side and the House side to allow the bill to become law. The president signed it a couple of days later. The 2012 Tax Relief Act focuses on several areas that impact taxpayers, and we're going to talk about them today. In the next show, next week, we're going to talk specifically about changes that were made to the estate, gift, and generation skipping transfer tax rules. On the income tax side, one of the most important provisions was the permanent, quote-unquote permanent, extension of the Bush tax cuts for individuals that were enacted way back in 2001 and then modified somewhat in 2003. Those provisions were made permanent for single taxpayers who had taxable income of less than $400,000 or $450,000 for joint filers. For those who are over those thresholds, the top income tax rate rose to 39.6% from 35%. Now, this is important because on top of that number, we're going to find out, are additional taxes that really caused the tax rates at the highest levels to increase well in excess of 40%. In addition, Congress brought back the personal exemption phase-out, known as the PEP or PEP, and the itemized deduction phase-out, known as the PEAS, named after the congressman who was responsible for enacting this provision way back in 1993, limitations. They brought back the limitations for taxpayers who have gross income over, or adjusted gross income over certain thresholds that are not the same as the tax rate thresholds. Then they also, and probably the largest cost associated with this tax bill, they also made permanent the so-called patch on the alternative minimum tax, increasing the exemptions for individuals and married filing jointly taxpayers substantially so that the the bulk of Americans, at least 30 million people who were going to be subject to the alternative minimum tax, the AMT, are not going to be subject to it now. The cost of that provision alone was $1.8 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars over 10 years. But I think a lot of taxpayers are going to be happy that this exemption was passed and made permanent. They also provided extension of many credits and deductions that were already or would have expired in 2012. And, of course, they extended the estate and gift tax exemptions, as we'll talk about in greater detail next week. What the legislation did not do was they did not continue or extend the payroll tax holiday. That is, payroll taxes in 2012, if you didn't notice, were reduced by 2% from 6.2% down to 4.2% at the employee level. This expired at the end of 2012 and will be in effect going forward in 2013. They also allowed for an increase in the Medicare tax that was originally enacted all the way back in 2010 when they passed health care reform legislation. These taxes now take effect in 2013. Other parts and important parts of the fiscal cliff were not addressed. In other words, they kicked the can down the road for about 2 months to deal with the debt ceiling, which was effectively reached, but they extended it for a maximum period, that is about 2 months, and sequestration, in other words, the automatic cuts to defense and to other spending that were scheduled to take effect on December 31st or January 1st, were kicked down the road for a couple of months, while the Congress now will pick up that debate and deal with those issues now that the tax legislation has supposedly been made permanent or at least put to bed for some time. The White House said the bill will raise $620 billion over 10 years compared to an extension of all the Bush tax cuts. But the bill costs over $3.9 trillion over 10 years. So don't lose sight of the fact that the deficit is going to be increased by that amount over the next 10 years. We now have seven tax brackets, including a bracket for the 35% rate that goes from $398,350 or thereabouts to $400,000. In other words, we have a bracket that's a little more than $1,500 for certain taxpayers. Kind of ironic, but that's some of the complexity that's introduced by this tax legislation. Again, you know, by way of background, the Bush tax cuts, which were designed to sunset at the end of 2010, had been extended for 2 years and were scheduled to expire at the end of 2012. The lowest individual bracket of 10% would have disappeared, leaving a low rate of 15%. We still have the 10% rate. We have the 15% rate. We have a 25, a 28, a 33, and a 35% rate. And we now have a 39.6% rate for those over the $400,000 and $450,000 thresholds. Trusts, by the way, with income over about $12,000 for 2013 will also experience a top tax rate of 39.6%. What I understand from talking to people who were involved in tracking the legislation on the Hill is that nobody is happy about what happened on December the 31st and January the 1st. Apparently, Vice President Biden and Senator McConnell, who runs the Republican side, negotiated the compromise with staff in the wings basically doing the tax economic calculations. The Republicans passed on the opportunity that Congressman Boehner, the House Speaker, had proposed earlier for a $1 million threshold. And the Democrats, who were really pushing for $250,000 as the high watermark for considering people wealthy, also lost out. They reached that compromise level, obviously in some form of horse trading. It's really important to note that this is a quote-unquote permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts for all levels below the top tax bracket that I just described. There's no sunset provision in the act that taxpayers are supposed to be concerned about. But with taxes likely playing a major part in upcoming negotiations on other parts of the fiscal cliff, i.e. the debt ceiling and deficit reduction. The notion that these rates and that all of these changes have been made permanent is clearly going to be a point of contention for lawmakers going forward. In fact, Congressman Pelosi, in an appearance on Bob Schieffer's program on CBS recently, said that she believes that the tax cuts and the tax provisions are not permanent. Now, don't forget that there's a tax bracket increase for the highest income taxpayers, along with the additional Medicare tax that's being imposed. The Medicare tax is a 0.9% surtax on wages and self-employment income in excess of $250,000 for joint filers and $200,000 for single filers. So there may be additional taxes to pay along with the filing of tax returns. And by the way, be careful. The IRS rules relating to withholding only require that the IRS withhold a certain amount, which may leave you owning more tax on April 15th of 2014 because of this Medicare 0.9% surtax. On top of that is also a net investment income tax that was added as part of the health care reform bill. This is 3.8% on interest and dividends, whether or not they're qualified dividends, rents and royalties, and capital gains, and also income from passive activities such as real estate investment. The same levels apply, the $250 for joint, $200 for single. And it applies to the lesser of the net investment income that the taxpayer has, or their adjusted gross income modified for certain items above these levels. So if you have a high adjusted gross income because you have a high level of earnings and you also have net investment income, you're going to be subject to this net investment income surtax. The highest rate that could be imposed, 43.4%, plus a potential surtax of 0.9% on top of that for your earned income. Obviously, this is complex. It didn't achieve tax reform, and tax reform remains on the table for the future. If you've got questions about these changes, give us a call at 703-218-2100, and we'll be happy to help you with your tax planning. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.
You're listening to Blueprint for Wealth with Wayne Zell. Learn how to better prepare for your future when Blueprint for Wealth returns in a moment.
A Legal Minute with Wayne Zell.
How does a potential plaintiff find out whether you've got enough money to make you an attractive lawsuit target? Thanks to the internet, a lawyer can find out everything he or she needs to know. It's well understood that internet search technology allows virtually unlimited access to your most sensitive personal and financial info. Detailed information describing real estate and business interests, the name of your bank and accounts, brokerage firm, your transaction history, all can be accessed and assembled without your knowledge or permission. Now anyone can find out what you have and how much you're worth. It's very different from the way it used to be, where there were scraps of paper and courthouses that had to be investigated and visited. All that has changed. An investigator can now sit in the comfort of his or her office with a computer, a modem, and a cup of coffee in one hand, and in minutes access everything he or she wants to know about you. Be careful about your personal information, and be careful about what you put on the web.
Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. If you have questions for Wayne, you can email him at radio@ofplaw.com or call him at 703-218-2100. Now back to your host, Wayne Zell.
Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Ben Shaw. Ben is a industrial security officer with MTN Government Services. He's got 11 years of experience with industrial and international security, up to the top secret sensitive TSSCI level and presidential support programs. That's pretty high clearance, Ben. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And managed and enforced all regulations provided in and the Director of Central Intelligence Directives, DCID, and Intelligence Community Directives, ICDs, and the Joint Air Force-Army-Navy Manual. And he's worked with Morgan Franklin, and he was with the United States Marine Corps. And so we've got a lot to talk about today. First of all, give me a little bit of background, Ben, on your experience in the Marine Corps.
Well, sir, when 9/11 happened, I had a passion to join the Marine Corps, just as a lot of people joined the military then. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend named Rick Forno suggest a unit called 2nd Radio Battalion, which is the SIGINT collection unit for the Marine Corps. There's several radio battalions, but something that really interested me, and I went off to Paris Island October 29th.
And became a Marine.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense experience.
You made it through.
Yes.
That's a testament in and of itself. So. Yeah. And what about the radio unit that interested you?
Well, it was a skill that I could learn, signals intelligence, mm-hmm. and a highly technical skill, and I could still be a Marine, you know, being going to the field, things like that. So it sparked an interest of doing something more than, being in the infantry or something like that. Oddly enough, you know, went to the training, Corry Station, Pensacola, Florida. That's the first SIGINT school you go to. The second one I went to was Fort Huachuca, Arizona, mm-hmm. and very, very interesting training. Got stationed out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, at 2nd Radio Battalion, where we got assigned to certain units. Mine was a SIGINT support team, and in that one you learn how to do field expedient communications collections. So,
give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, an example would be we would take a Humvee packet full of special gear that was given to us. Can't really go into detail
sure,
about it.
Understood.
But we would build these vehicles mm-hmm. and then go out to the field with them and set up certain kinds of antennas, maybe actually even cut our own antennas. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys were like MacGyver. You know, some of them were pretty amazing. I was not MacGyver, but some of the guys were just technically
actually make
savvy.
Their own antennas.
Yes.
Out of whatever materials you had available to you.
Yes. Literally, guys were nailing these things to boards, measuring them out to collect a certain frequency.
Okay.
It's very interesting stuff. And then you tie it around a rope and throw it over a tree, and they call that tree topping. I mean, some of the stuff was really fun. Anyway, when I was at Fort Huachuca, mm-hmm. I actually got injured doing training, so I had to get reconstructive surgery on my leg. Mm. And that's kind of really where my security career began, because they reassigned me to the 2MEF G2 Special Security Office, which is the security office that administers protection of top secret sensitive compartmented information.
Sure.
And whatever programs go around that. So it was really a crash course, because from 2003 to 2005, that was really the height of the wars.
Right.
And we had Marines not just going to Iraq and Afghanistan, we had Marines going all around the world.
Right.
So under our command or our program, we had about 1,500 intel Marines, and things were just going a mile a minute all the time. So it was really a crash course, and I had really, really good leadership. I got to thank Staff Sergeant Shelley and Master Sergeant Gross. These guys were like family to me, and they trained me well.
Mm-hmm.
2005, I was getting medically separated, and I was scared. I planned on being a Marine. I was comfortable in the Marine Corps, and getting out of the military is very intimidating.
Why? Why is it intimidating?
Because I mean,
for those of us who have never served in the military, I think it's really important for us to hear this and understand it a little bit.
Okay, so the Marine Corps has a very unique culture. I'm sure everybody is aware of. You know, it's fun, it's intense, it's serious, and you get used to that culture.
Okay.
And getting out to the civilian world, you don't know what to expect.
Especially if that's been your life, your adult life, right?
Yes. And the other thing is I didn't know where I was going to get a job. You know, everybody said I'd be fine, but still, that's me at the end of the day with just a car and a rucksack, you know, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I went to about 4 job fairs up here in the Beltway. My command was nice enough to let me go to these job fairs, because they said, hey, once you're out, you're out, you know. So I went to about 4 job fairs, and then I met Morgan Franklin at one of the job fairs, and met two guys, Chris Herndon and Rob Franklin, and there was just something special about them. They understood military folks. They welcomed me in, and I felt like it was the right place to go to.
What did you do there?
I was their industrial security officer, so that involves being a facility security officer, where you fall under Defense Security Service regulations for top secret and down, which is known as collateral security.
Right.
And then on the other side, there were SCI level programs, sensitive compartment information, which is SSO kind of stuff. And then there was an agency that they worked for at the time called WACA, White House Communications Agency, which I'd never heard of until I got there.
Right.
And that involved presidential support Category 2 clearances. And with all these different clearances.
So basically, are you managing the information that's going in and out of these organizations and making sure that you're clearing the information or testing it for accuracy? Or, you know, what is it that you have to do? I know you can't really talk about the information that
right.
you're screening, but as a security officer in that position, what would you be doing to protect security, to provide security?
Well, number one, making people meet the standards for the security standards for their clearances.
Okay.
So for top secret, they got certain standards. For SCI, they got certain standards. For presidential support, they have very, very, very high standards.
That's probably the highest, isn't it?
It's
one of the highest.
It's probably the toughest I've dealt with, and I've dealt with several different agencies, and they have very high standards for obvious reasons.
Yes.
It's not just about protecting the president, but it's the communications and the encryption. You know, they call that the keys to the castle. So very, very protected. And they do a great job at doing that, too. So it's important as a contractor to make sure you screen people and make sure that you mitigate any clearance issues they may have. I mean, sometimes you just got to tell them, no, I'm sorry. You know, and that's a tough thing to do, but it's something that's you have to do.
You mean, no, I'm sorry, you cannot communicate with this particular office?
Well, no, you're not going to get cleared.
Okay.
Okay, so once somebody's over the fence and they are cleared, that's up to that program manager on what they're going to get access to and their local security office. You know, besides the personnel security, there's contractual security. There's certain forms and documents you receive with contract awards
right.
that authorize you access to certain things.
Right.
So for DOD, it's known as a form DD-254.
Right.
That's something every contractor, if they're not cleared yet, they want. Because that's what helps them get a facility clearance. And that helps them get access to a lot more contracts.
Meaning that information can be stored in the facility because it's a secured facility.
Well, actually, it's funny. People actually don't exactly understand the definition of facility clearance.
Tell us what that really entails and what it means.
Okay, what it really means is that is your corporate entity, meaning not the physical structure, is cleared with DSS. And the reason why they did that was is lawyers, however long ago, said, well, he's not an S corp, he's an LLC or whatever. They found some way to circumvent whatever thing was being bestowed by law.
Mm-hmm.
And so DSS said, well, fine, the term's going to be facility. And that
okay.
blankets all corporations.
So it's really alluding to the entity itself,
correct.
not a box.
Correct.
When you have a secured facility clearance, it's not referring to the fact that you've got a room that is designated as a secured facility, correct?
That's correct. Now, right. now, when you're talking about a room or something of that level, it's called safeguarding.
Right.
And or a restricted area. Or a SCIF, that's where, you know, SCI work goes on, or a SAP-F, that's where special access programs would go. And
right.
Those vary in construction standards. So, you know, to build a secret room, it's really not that difficult.
But a top secret room is very difficult.
It can be. The costs vary.
So you really acquired a lot of experience and knowledge of what it takes to get, not only to bestow security clearances, but also to give them.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty neat. So you were at Morgan Franklin for how long?
5 years.
And then after that, what did you do?
I got a great opportunity at this company called MTN Government Services, the parent company MTN. I wanted to see a change from professional services anyway because it was very intense. People deploying around the world all the time. And I was ready for a change, and I saw this company, and a friend was working there, and he offered me a great position. And it was a change in business model. I mean, this is the global SATCOM company. The parent does
satellite communications, for those of you that don't understand acronyms.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. the parent company did high net worth people, yachts, cruises. It's just an unbelievable network of what they can do. And they do it with far fewer people than a professional services firm. And it's funny, the investment is just as big, if not greater, because instead of investing in people, you're investing in technology.
Right.
And they invest a lot in that, into innovation. And I just thought it was, you know, looked like a very interesting place to work. The founder was a guy named Richard Hatzell, who invented the stabilized antenna. He did the Bloommobile.
What's the stabilized antenna?
Basically, when a ship's rocking, it can stay locked onto the satellite.
So that even though the actual physical structure is moving, it's locked on.
That's correct.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And so the parent company does satellite communications provide. They're a satellite communications provider for wealthy, high net worth people who are all around the world on their yachts, on their airplanes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
What the company that you work for, MTN Government Services, what do they do?
No, we provide the same services to the military or deployed contractors, and it could be any kind of service. It's something that our warfighters need, and it's something that people that are deployed, you know, sometimes they just need internet to just talk to somebody at home.
Okay.
So we got a passion for, you know, not just serving the military, but a passion for hooking these people up so they can talk back home. So there's different kinds of communications depending on what kind of vehicle you're looking at, whether it be a UAV,
What's
ship,
a UAV?
Unmanned aerial vehicle.
Okay.
A ship, a ground-based vehicle or mm-hmm. a fixed antenna.
Okay.
I actually have spent a lot of time in Spain recently. We just built a teleport in Santander that's met high security requirements for information assurance
mm-hmm.
and NATO and Spanish MOD, so we could drop X-band signals, which helps the military. That's been a really fun project, and that's somewhere I've really grown in my security career is in information assurance. This is something I didn't do in the military. It's something mm-hmm. I didn't do at Morgan Franklin. It's something I've gotten to do here that's very different, learning this this kind of security practice of managing and protecting, you know, signals going around the world.
Mm-hmm.
How do you layer your security against that? I mean, it's just really, really
that's
fun
fascinating
stuff.
I mean, a lot of us would love to know how it works, but then mm-hmm. if you told me, you'd have to kill me, and then we wouldn't have the radio show anymore. So,
well, wait till we're done with the show.
So they do teleports all around the world,
mm-hmm.
and you were most recently in Spain. What specifically do they provide? They provide security assurance, is what you're saying.
Yes. So basically, information assurance is not just, you know, locks, lights, alarms, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about redundancy. It's about having traversing,
Redundancy meaning you've got backups.
Correct.
In case one system goes down, you've got another system that immediately can step up into operation.
Right.
And be functional.
Right. And actually, one thing this company does is takes that very seriously. Actually, the last place I actually was Warsaw, Poland.
Hmm.
Our CEO, Peg Grayson, and the CEO of the parent, Errol Oliver, were concerned about an X-band signal, having the proper redundancies.
What's an X-band?
It's a military band signal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, get on a plane, go to Warsaw, inspect this teleport, make sure it meets all the standards. And they actually exceeded the standards. So it was kind of very comforting that they did. And when we showed it to our customer, they were very happy with it. So now we have, you know, two teleports with an amazing capability to give us reach, you know, across that side of the planet.
What's it like working for MTN Government Services?
There's never a dull moment.
Is that right?
Yeah,
are you traveling a lot? Do you have to travel all over the world?
A lot to Europe. I probably went about 5 times this year. And I go to Miami a lot because that's where the parent is. And then our home-based teleport is in Homedale, New Jersey. And I wish I could get into that because that's an amazing facility.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with MTN Government Services, or MTN for that matter, to find out more about job opportunities, how would they do that? How would they go about doing that?
Well, we obviously have a website.
What's that?
It's mtngs.com.
Okay.
We have an info email address, and then we have job postings. And actually, look for job postings because we are going to expand into professional services verticals.
Beautiful.
So one of the things we want to do is do more government contracting, and it's going to get us not out of the SATCOM community, but we're going to start new verticals.
Thanks. Ben Shaw from MTN Government Services, a security expert. It's interesting to hear about what you do, and thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for joining us this week, listening to a very interesting topic, and join us next week for another topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Wayne Zell and Blueprint for Wealth. Wayne will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with your Blueprint for Wealth, right here on 1500 a.m. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 a.m. and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a
a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now. This paid commercial may not